Final reflections. All in all, the play, Titus Andronicus, is a rivetingly outrageous, bloody instance of Elizabethan revenge tragedy in the tradition of Seneca's Thyestes, Thomas Kyd's The Spanish Tragedy, and Christopher Marlowe's The Jew of Malta. In Kyd's play, the protagonist Hieronymo seeks wild, violent justice for the vengeful murder of his son. Melodramatic as it may seem, Kyd's early revenge tragedy is serious and philosophical. It considers life's great questions, above all, what constitutes justice in a wicked world, and is, at least in that regard, perhaps worthy of comparison with Aeschylus and Sophocles. Shakespeare's play is sometimes dismissed as frivolous, and, of course, it doesn't rise to the level of the metadramatic masterpiece that is Hamlet, but like Kyd's famous Spanish tragedy, it has a serious dimension that repays study. Titus is no mere villain, and neither is Tamora. Only Aaron seems to be a thoroughgoing dastard, with Tamora's foolish sons coming in second, since they lack Aaron's cunning. Shakespeare's genius leads him to employ the Romans versus Goths theme in a manner that confounds any simple opposition between Roman and Goth. Titus turns out to be more of a Goth than we might have thought possible, excessive, bloody, and barbarous in his revenge. Tamora is more than a stage barbarian. Her motive for revenge is legitimate, and she shows herself a skilled manipulator of Roman politics. In a sense, then, she is as much Roman as Goth. Aaron the Moor adds yet another perspective on the Goth-Roman opposition. It's true that the villain plot he drives sets itself up against the twin revenge plots of Titus and Tamora, and in part displays the man's dedication to wickedness. But Aaron shows considerable loyalty to his child as the image of himself, and exults in his blackness. He is in his own lane, so to speak, and audiences may find him a compelling figure who holds his own among the Romans and Goths. Moreover, while Shakespeare may not be subjecting the revenge code itself to the kind of scrutiny it receives in Hamlet, where it's understood that revenge is against God's law, he seems interested in the complexities of Roman honor. The allusions he makes to the Lucretia story from Livy's History of Rome and to the Philomela tale from Ovid's Metamorphoses allows him to explore the significance of those key Roman myths. What is the play suggesting about moral codes? Perhaps that people must live by them and within them, but also that they must not be imprisoned by them. Rigidity, failure to reflect on one's values, allows cynicism and outrage to flourish. Extremes beget counter-extremes. Titus is an honorable man, to be sure. But the play as a whole keeps reiterating that claim until the actions that instantiate it lead to a Mark Antony effect. By the fourth and fifth acts, what's needed and supplied isn't more old-fashioned honor, but a plan for revenge against the barbarous Goths and Moors who have taken advantage of Titus's stiff morality. What of the historical significance of Shakespeare's representation of Rome? Julie Taymor's 2000 production, Titus, sets the play in a neo-fascist Italy, with its futuristic architecture and art ironically looking back to the age of Mussolini, Il Duce. Taymor's choice makes sense, because the 1920s through 40s dictator and Hitler ally, Benito Mussolini, appropriated the ancient Roman symbols of power and tried to turn Italy into an empire. Mussolini took this Roman revival act so far as to invade Ethiopia. Even in ancient times, the image of Rome in its imperial phase was due at least partly to the well-oiled propaganda machine of Augustus Caesar and the wisest of those who followed him as rulers. Augustus promoted the idea that Rome's anachronistic republican values were still operative, even though by his day such values were more of a fashion statement than anything else. There has always been a strong element of self-fashioning, to borrow a term from Stephen Greenblatt, in Rome and Italy's presentation of itself to the rest of the world. And that tendency is something that Shakespeare seems to have picked up on when he turned to writing numerous plays set in Italy. By Titus's era, his Rome no longer exists, in spite of his stubborn, if stylized, adherence to it. Titus's stylization, its earnestness aside, is itself already an anachronistic fashion. Of course, fashion statements, whether sincere or not, can have political implications and reflect political facts on the ground. Perhaps Shakespeare would praise Taymor's concentration on the role of fabrication and stylistic borrowing and recycling in politics, history, and literature, with the definition of reality as consisting significantly, though not necessarily entirely, in a people's perception of themselves, rather than being reducible to some external standard. Taymor's 2000 film production, Titus, ends by opening out onto the future. Aaron's barbarian child is implied to be the victor, the one who will inherit the millennia beyond the Roman play's frame. In this way, Taymor's version takes up a significant attitude towards the pageant of destruction and creation, struggle and lapse, memory and loss that we call history. Titus Andronicus revels in violence, but the play's celebration is a response to the pain of life, a response to outrage and unfairness and to the tragic dimension of life. Though there is some laugh-out-loud material in this play, it is ultimately nothing like comedy since its world and human desire patently do not run parallel or harmonize with each other. We may remember the scene in Martin Scorsese's film Taxi Driver, where the anti-hero Travis Bickle forces himself to hold his hand over an open flame for as long as he can. This sort of grim endurance is the stuff of Senecan revenge tragedy and Roman myth, to which we should add a good deal of impressively high-impact imagery. Shakespeare's adaptation of the revenge tradition may amount to a surprisingly sophisticated protest with regard to the human condition and all its rawness and cruelty. Some modern people's sensibilities may be too delicate to embrace Elizabethan Jacobean revenge tragedy, but the plays themselves are serious efforts in the tragic and philosophical mode, with the aim of exploring the limits of pain and injustice, the better to inure an audience to its own sufferings. Titus Andronicus may be substantially parodic of its genre, but that does not disqualify it as deserving consideration as part of the Stoic tradition allied with revenge fiction. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. The foregoing material is copyright 2026 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition 4-volume genre-based format.